Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Survivor Stockwatch podcast. I am your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me this week is Claire. How are you doing, Claire?
Hey, Taryn. I am doing good. Excited to be here talking with you all about Survivor. You know, one of my favorite shows, and so it's always a blast talking to you, diving deep and getting into the good, juicy strategy bits.
Yes, so glad to have you with me. Last season, you were a favorite guest from the Survivor Stockwatch. So very happy to have you back.
Awesome. Yeah, I hope my stock isn't plummeting. You know, so we'll have to see. Maybe if you want to send me numbers, you know, rating. How am I going? What's my trend right now? I think some of our players are trending up, and some are not trending up at all. So hopefully, I'll be one of these high numbers.
Hopefully. I did, in fact, we missed last week. So last week we were in New York for the live know-it-alls, and it was not feasible to attempt to do a Stockwatch podcast. And then when we got back, there's a lot of postseason Big Brother coverage. The Circle is happening right now. So what I decided to do is we're doubling up. We're going to talk about this week on the Stockwatch, which is it's episode 11, I think. And last week's episode, which I believe was episode 10. We'll briefly talk about last week's episode. We won't go too deep into it. But we're going to give two sets of ratings. And again, we'll probably be a bit briefer on last week than this week, but we'll give a rating set for, where we thought the player was last week, and then where they have ended up this week so far. So that should be fun. Little experiment there as well. But that's what we're doing here on the Stockwatch.
Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be interesting to see. You know, I felt like I'd kind of dealt with this whenever you come off a show, you're always going hindsight. You know, and you're like, well, really, the move was this, and this is why. And you kind of adjust it. But I will try to hold my ratings for last week's, you know, unbiased going into this week's. But it's a lot of stuff, you know, Taryn, you stopped recapping BB Can. You said, you know, let's double up my work. Let's get all these shows going. How many shows can I be happening right now? I know you like to be a busy bee.
Yes. Well, we're getting there. We're almost through Survivor. Only two more weeks after this for Survivor. The finale and I think, like 2 weeks from now ish. Mm-hmm. And then the Circle, it just started, but it will also be ending in, I think, about 2 weeks. So then it'll be really like, okay, now I can breathe for like a couple of weeks before Big Brother 24 starts.
That's good stuff. I last year at this time, I think I was in my panic mode prepping for Big Brother, so both of us with all our a nice little bit of downtime here, but it'll be good.
Yes. I was pretending to be on Big Brother, I think was the...
Taryn, know that I thought you were going to be on Big Brother. I remember...
You were preparing to deal with me.
Karen or Puya are in there. Like, what's my game plan? Like, I had, that is a section of the BB Bible was Taryn is in there. What do I do? Because that was the big hubbub right before I went in. I remember I like watched your Twitch live stream right before and you're like, no, like I'm not, it's moving guys. And I was like, like expect unexpected. I'm ready.
Oh boy. Well, let's talk about Survivor. So last week on Survivor, we saw that, Mike gave us a good recap. Actually, we barely even need to do anything ourselves because Mike did a great job for us in this episode.
Wait, can you hear it? Can you hear that? You know what that is? That's High's head rolling down the road because we lopped his head off just like he deserved. Because High was playing too many different games and got too full of himself.
Oh boy.
Ooh, I think I heard that and I was like, Mike is getting like a text right now from High. Let me tell you that. Ooh, that was a doozy. But that was like, you know, Mike was proud of himself for that one. Like Mike has came in this week riding so high, if you will.
Yeah.
And it, you know, you love a good confessional like that. Like that was brutal though.
Yes. Well, it's, I think especially, coming off of how High left, right? Because High was voted out, but it seemed to be on the back of Omer, really going in on High and creating a lie, which was, you know, maybe not like in, it wasn't like it wasn't spiritually true, you know, to a degree. But it was not factually true in that he said that High told him that that Mike was his puppet or what he had in his back pocket. He would do whatever he wanted. And like, I think we're supposed to see here that Mike has been tricked into betraying High and into feeling like, oh, High stabbed me in the back and he got what he deserved. When in reality, you know, it wasn't really Mike's move. And he wasn't even that much of a traitor.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. The perception, like what was Mike's perception before this move and how did it alter potentially after the move, right? Like before the move, clearly, you know, Omer knew that that was going to be a sore subject for Mike. Like clearly this is something that Mike has maybe thought about for a little bit also, but it's something that Omer knew would be like a weakness. Like, I don't know if you can go up to Omer and say like, hey, Lindsay said you're a puppet. And Omer would just be like, well, I believe that even despite them being very different, like players or like gullibility or whatever have you. So there must have been some perception of this anyways, even if it is a lie. And I do think, you know, good on Omer, so many props to Omer for, you know, this very clever lie set at the right time with the right context that it worked so effectively on Mike. But also if he's speaking the perception of everyone else in that tribe, you know, it's not that bad of a move for Mike to lop that head off. Even though with this edit, we've clearly seen like the props go to Omer and Mike probably doesn't realize that and is maybe feeling a little bit better about himself, then maybe the credit will be given.
You might say that Mike really bought it.
And I think she bought it. I hope she bought it.
What?
I think he bought it.
He bought it. Is that a Hoboken accent? I should know these things, but.
Yeah. New Yorker over here.
Yeah. Whatever.
So that was most of what we saw last episode. You know, we also saw sort of the rise of Lindsay, who had, you know, up until last episode, really like hadn't seen much of her. And really it came into her own here. Reminded me a little bit of what happened with Erica, although Erica's edit really kicked in at the merge. And we are a bit past that at this point. So it would be even more sort of like, whoa. For Lindsay at winter edit to come in, but who knows at this point. But we did see Lindsay kind of rise to prominence and show that she is not a huge fan of the Jonathan.
Yes, I am very high on Lindsay. And I think I'm pretty high on the women that we have left. And, you know, going into this episode, I was high on all the women. But Lindsay has had two very good episodes. I know we're kind of talking about the one before, and this was kind of one of Lindsay's breakout episodes, winning both the reward and immunity, right? I didn't fully rewatch the last one. I watched like half of it. But I really like Lindsay breaking out here. I've learned not to trust Survivor editors with EDGIC. I do not try to keep up with that or try to like finagle and think about, you know, well, what are they telling us? But I do like Lindsay here, especially like if I think about Erica's, like her real breakout, I feel like was the finale. Like even going into the finale, I was like, I don't really know if she has it, but I feel like Lindsay's had a few episodes where if we're worrying about the edit, which I said I wasn't, I like it. And I like how Lindsay feels like she's playing her own game. I feel like her and Omar are really this tight, maybe like a loose two, but they are definitely working well together, I think, and both strategically bringing different elements to the table and complementing each other really nicely.
Yeah, it's been interesting. I think the thing is that I think most people seem to think that they're a duo with Omar at this point. So who knows what his real plans actually are? And that's actually one of my, even though I've been really enjoying the season, I think the last two episodes were both really good. I think my biggest criticism is that I just don't know what the long-term strategy is for any of the players, in particular Omar, who has been running the show clearly. What does he want? I don't know. Like, does he want to go to the end with Lindsay and Jonathan? Does he want to go to the end with Romeo and Marianne? Like, I have no idea. I assume that he's looking to bring Romeo, but we've seen hints that, like, you know, he's been working with Romeo on the down low. But he's also got the Taku 4 still intact. You know, does he want to go to the end with some of them? Is he like very happy that Jonathan has tanked his social game and probably can't win a jury vote now? Like, oh, perfect. Or does he feel like Lindsay and feel like, oh, I've still got to get him out? I don't know. I don't know anything.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, I think it's a testament to how much game is happening in the immediate. It's like, I feel like some seasons they can really show us the long game here and you see the three working together. That's the final three who's normally like a strategist and then maybe like two goats, if you want to use that terminology, which I guess preview of next week, who knows, but here I feel like every single vote you're making so many decisions. I'm sure he does have some sort of in-game ideal, just based off the strategist that we've seen him in the episodes. But yeah, it's really interesting to me. I would love to know, and I'm hoping as we're going a little bit deeper, only a couple more episodes left, that we sort of see what are those in-game plans. But it's very interesting.
Yeah. So. I ultimately agreed with Omer's move last week to take out High. Because I felt that once you create the lie that High said this thing about Mike, because we saw that Omer was like, oh, I was so good at sinking High's game that now everyone wants High gone. High's almost been, you know, declawed at this point. Maybe I should take a shot at somebody else who's a bigger threat. And keep High around now that nobody wants to work with him. But I think that, like, once you do that work, once you did the work, you got High in a vulnerable position, you made up a lie about him that people believe, I feel like you can't then underestimate it. Like, you did that work for a reason, and it can be undone. So I feel like you have to follow through, you know, just the chances that, like, that after the tribal, maybe there's a vote or two on High, and it's like, whoa, why were the votes on me? Or anything. And then Mike is going to High like, look, you know, I heard about when you said this thing and I was thinking about voting you out, but, you know, I don't know or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Like maybe he decides he just wants to talk about it before he votes High out next time. Either way, it gives High an opportunity to be like, whoa, no, I never said that. What are you talking about? Well, you know, Homer told me. It was uh-oh. So I thought it was the right call. And I do think that, you know, for Homer, he has to start looking at taking out these, you know, sort of jury threats. I assume one of them. So I felt like it was pretty good. I did look at Drea as like, could you have taken a shot at Drea instead from the start? But, you know, as we saw, I didn't really need to.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do think that that was the right move. I agree. Once you have that lie out there, just get rid of it. Let yourself have a clean slate. Let Mike, you know, think he has some control in that. And then you're also tied closer to Mike. And I am a big believer, like, you don't want someone sitting at like a bottom rank in the tribe for too long. Because I think someone who's sitting at the bottom rank of the tribe too long, people start saying, well, we can just use them for a number, or, you know, we all don't trust them. So maybe we can bring them to the end and we can beat them because we all know, you know, they're whatever, not trustworthy. So like, let's just drag them along or use them as a number. So I think that that was the right move. Drea, also, we saw that kind of got resolved. But yeah, I wouldn't have hated Drea. Jonathan's interesting to me. Is it worth taking Jonathan out? Just because he could make that run with the idols. But given this, and I think I'll talk about this more with like my numbers, given this set of players, I don't think they're necessarily going to be people that really value wins, like immunity wins. Like, I think if someone can, you know, comp their way out to the end, that is impressive. It's hard to ignore that. But with this set of people, I think they are all strategists and like to see themselves as strategists and will therefore want to reward a strategist. So I'm not upset about Jonathan staying in and keeping going on for a couple more weeks.
Yeah, I'm seeing Jonathan sort of as the Xander of the season at this point. Like, Xander sitting there with an idol that everybody knew about for a long time. Nobody ever bothered to do anything about it because they were just like, who cares? It's, like, it's only impressive to like comp or idol your way down to the end or like hold that idol if people actually care to take you out, right? Like, the perception is everything. And people were just decided, like, you know what? That's fine. You can sit over there with your idol. We don't actually think that you're a huge threat in the game. And I feel like the same is kind of true of Jonathan at this point. And I feel like it was echoed in what Drea said on her way out of the game. She's like, Jonathan, I didn't even, honestly, I wasn't even targeting you. You weren't a big threat to me.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. But the one thing that maybe is different, maybe I'm forgetting 41 as much, is Lindsay still does seem very set on Jonathan. And maybe that's just what Lindsay was telling Drea, to try to keep Drea's like awareness down. But I would have been interested had Lindsay won immunity. What would have happened? Would they have gone after Jonathan? And is Lindsay's, you know, dead eye focus on Jonathan and talking about him with a bunch of people like going to catch up to her. I think I worry about that with Lindsay. If you create this Goliath and then you can't get rid of him, what does that say about your own game?
Yeah, I think for Lindsay, that's true. And I think that it feels like for Lindsay that that it's more just like, I got to get rid of this guy. Like, he's got to go. He's so annoying. And also, she seems to, I think what she said in the previous episode is that she felt like she couldn't separate her game from his in the eyes of other people. So I think for Lindsay, it's important for Jonathan to go. But I think for the rest of the cast at this point, it's like, whatever. And that's why I think for Homer, like, if I'm Homer and I'm sitting there with Lindsay and Jonathan, like, I'm not that worried. I feel like I've got a pretty decent shot at that point. Although Lindsay, even though she's not getting Jonathan out, I think is still distinguishing herself to a decent degree. So I'd be a little bit worried. But I think my ideal scenario, if I'm Homer, is Romeo and Jonathan in the final three. I think that's what that's where I would want to be for sure at this point. So, so Hi leaves. We get to this episode, and there's a twist.
There is a twist to today's challenge. and it's a dangerous one.
But if you think you're on the bottom, it could help.
It could help, guys. It's a good twist, I promise.
Guys, maybe you do want it. Who knows? Like, maybe you want to play for it. It's a huge advantage if it happens, you know, potentially.
We're getting the do or die twist again. And I feel like this episode, even though they were trying to sell it like this could be a good thing, and it's really their fault if they mess it up. But we still got like a perfect example of, I think, why this twist is no good. When Omar is in later in the episode explaining like all of the different ways that this tribal could go between blindsiding Drea, blindsiding Mike, stealing an idol one way, stealing an idol a different way. And then he concludes it with,
"And yet none of this may matter."
Yeah, it might just all be for naught. Like, could you imagine if we lost this tribal to, oh, she picked the wrong one. Everyone, time, pack it up, head home. We're all good here.
Yeah, you just have to trust your players. Just trust the players. That's all production needs to do. Trust them to play hard. Trust them to play well. Like, it would have been so upsetting just seeing Lindsay going out this way and then seeing all the mess not happen. Because, okay, now I think my order is getting out of my head. So do or die happened before the knowledge is power twist came into play, correct?
The choosing of the do or die. Yeah, yes. That happened before. After that finished, Drea went, I gotta... question.
Yeah, okay, so then we wouldn't have even potentially gotten that. Mm-hmm. Which, like, you know, maybe it's interesting if the whole tribal happens and then it's do or die. You know, I'm trying to come up with some way that this could be better. Granted, that wouldn't be good because, you know, you're blowing up games left and right, but it would have been a little interesting to me had Lindsay just gone out. Now Mike knows about the knowledge is power twist. Like, what would have happened in this multiverse, if you will, of had Lindsay gone home, what would have happened with like Drea and the knowledge is power, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I think we are all appreciative that, you know, Lindsay does not know Monty Hall, I guess, and trusted her gut and stuck with her choice.
It's so wild that happened twice in a row.
Is one box a slightly different color than the other two boxes? Like, what's happening here? I don't understand.
I
mean,
I guess it's not that weird. Like it's just 2 1-in-3 chances in a row. That's not that weird. But like, in terms of it being such a divisive sort of like difficult to understand concept, mathematical concept, it is very funny that twice in a row they made the wrong choice, but still survived.
And I really like on both of the tribal councils, there's been like the one person who's like, you switch. Like we saw high, like always switch. Like that was me on my couch to my parents. My mom's like, wait, what? Like, I'm like pulling out the numbers. And it's really funny that those people aren't being chosen. It's people who are like, look, I got to stick with my gut. It really does bring me a lot of joy.
So here's what you do, right? If you're not a math if you're not a person that believes in math and you instead believe in the heart of the cards, this is what you do. In your initial pick, you try to pick wrong, right? You're like, I want to pick the one that's not correct. That's what I'm aiming for. That's what the heart of the cards, give me the blue dragon, whatever it was, and give me the bad one, and then you swap. Then you get best of both worlds because you have better odds to pick wrong first, right? And with the magic, and then once you pick wrong, you can also use the math, and now you definitely get it right if you switch, which is also how it works. You have better chance if you get it wrong first. You win if you switch.
Yeah, and that's sort of. I mean, Lindsay said that one you just opened was my second choice. So, you know, her second choice.
So if she had picked her third choice, she definitely would have been wrong. And if she had swapped, it would have been right. See?
Exactly.
It's a win-win.
We have solved the game. We know how to play with your heart. We know how to play with the stats. And we're, you know, it's just manifestation at the end of the day, Taryn. And that's really how you win this game.
Manifest the wrong choice. That's how to do it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So, yes, we get the do or die twist. Obviously, we talked about it last season. I don't like the twist. I think it's dumb. I also feel like Lindsay makes the wrong choice here. And I think she recognized it immediately after. Like, why did I bother competing? What? Like, it's not even that important in my eyes for her to get Jonathan out of the game. It's let alone this week. You know, it's like, just let him default take immunity, which I assume is what would have happened. Or would it have been that if he's the only one playing, right? Because this yeah. is the question. If he's the only one playing, he will be the first person to fall off the thing.
Well, that's true. Well, would he even fall though? Like, does he have to step his way up? And potentially, you know, if Jeff sees, you know, it's Jonathan, Is he, you know, what's he doing versus, you know, who knows? Maybe if it had been like Romeo, who was the only one to play, Jeff would have been like, oh, yeah, like, but
he would have turned over the rock and Jeff would have been like, oh, Jonathan. And Jonathan would have been like, I don't want to go, Mr. Jeff. I don't want to go.
Please, no, please. Yeah, do you think anyone else should have played? No, basically.
Because you know that Jonathan's going to play, yeah. Right? And so if you know that Jonathan's going to play, then why bother? The only person I think, you know, you would consider doing it is if you genuinely thought, I will be voted out this week if I don't win immunity or get immunity of some sort, and I have no other means of getting immunity. So maybe if you're Romeo and you really feel like I'm definitely gone, but clearly he didn't feel that way. And clearly that wasn't the case. Maybe if you're Drea and you feel like I need to win something or I'm gone, but that wasn't the case. Drea had a steal an idol, which meant she could have saved herself in a more effective way. So no incentive for her to do that either. Really feel like it was just in everyone's interest to just be like, sure, whatever, Jonathan, you take it. If we want to vote you out, we'll just vote you out next time. Mm-hmm. It's fine.
What are your thoughts on future players doing this, like offensively, like stepping down on purpose? Of multiple, three people are playing. Say, it's Jonathan, it's me, and it's you maybe. Like, well, I don't think I'm winning that, first of all. But then maybe if I think I'm going out, I step down and I say, hey, I want to take those chances. Granted, you don't know what the odds are. And if someone just said it's a game of chance, especially with shot in the dark, I'm like, I don't like a 1 in 6 odds. 50-50, better than zero, but...
Yeah, I mean, especially if you know the odds, if you know it's if you know the Monty Hall problem and you know what that's going to be the Monty Hall problem, that you basically have a 66% chance of staying. Like, that's pretty good. And, you know, it's a lot better than the shot in the dark. And, you know, I would definitely consider it. I think that if I'm in a competition, if I'm in an immunity challenge where it's like, say, three people, and I feel like I can beat at least one of them for sure, then I think I would probably just go for the win at that point, that rather than step off. But if I felt like there's no chance I'm going to win this, and since now I'm in a spot where I need to either, you know, go for it or just straight up be voted out, because definitely nothing will change, then yeah, I'd consider it. But I'd also like, you know, you can't ever really underestimate the chance that something will change. You know, it really, like, there were seasons in the past where, like, it's been set in stone. It's a pagonging, like, this is the next person for sure. In those spots, I'd be like, sure, I'll take 66% chance. Why not? But in a season like this, where it's like in most modern seasons at this point, where it's very fluid, I'd be like, I'd almost rather take my chances of like something changing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. But I think it is interesting that I can pretty easily, I feel like, imagine a scenario where someone is like, screw it. I don't
know. Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to go for it. I hopefully we don't see it again in future seasons, but who knows?
Who knows? All right. So that's pretty much it. We get the so the idea is to that Lindsay will either go or they will have to come up with a backup plan. And for Mike, the plan is to say it's Romeo. It's Romeo because, you know, all he does is eat, and he's pretending it's Romeo to Drea, and he thinks.
And I think she bought it. I hope she bought it.
Thinks she bought it. Omer, though, is thinking, like, okay, Mike is really riding high on all this stuff, riding high on high. And maybe I should take Mike out. We get a lot of these, like, maybe I should do this from Omer, which I don't ever know how seriously he's considering these options, but. He talks with Drea, and watching this, I was just like, no, mm-hmm. What? So obviously we know what happened last season with the knowledge is power, thing. And when she hadn't told anybody about it, I was like, there we go. She knows what to do. She knows that it's useless if she tells anyone. And right before she's about to use it, you were so close. You were at the finish line. You're there, and you turned around and you were like, oh, hey, Omer, did you want to, it's like a ribbon. Did you want to run through the instead of me? Did you want to do that? Oh yeah. Yeah. I'll do that.
Goodbye. There they go. I know. I'd seen like some talk, and I'd kind of, you're not buying into it, but like, Drea's kind of seemed like a prophet of like what's going on this season. Like, people were like, did she talk to someone from 41? Which, like, no, obviously not. But like, her knowing about like being able to figure out what is the glass, the hourglass being shattered. There was one other instance, which now I forget about, of course, where she like knew what twist was kind of like, or like predicted this twist. And then
And I observe.
She observes.
She is observing, if nothing else. She observes. Oh, I love that. I really enjoyed Drea. What a fun exit episode. Like, Drea's been like game mode, collecting her little prizes. And then I feel like this episode, I was like, so team Drea the entire time. Other than when she was telling Omer, making this crucial mistake that we have seen happen before, just spilling knowledge is power, you know, and that knowledge was powerful for Omer, and going and seeing him running it to Lindsay. And then we get the reveal midway through tribal that Mike did pass his idol over. It's just.
And it's just like, okay. Right. Because you think about like, okay, why did she do it? Well, maybe she felt like it was necessary in order to get the Mike plan in place, because maybe Omer was saying, I would do Mike, but he's got an idol, and so we can't do Mike. So she's like, well, okay, Nat, fine. I will tell you this so that we can get the plan in place. Which, even that by itself, I'm like, whatever. Like, it's not that important. Like, your survival is more important than Mike leaving, in my eyes. And also, like, if that was the truth and he wasn't just playing you, then when all of a sudden you just stole Mike's idol, you can now give Omer the wink, like, hey, now we do that. Now we do the move. Yeah. Now that it's happened, and maybe it still goes through. Who knows? But even beyond that, I feel like there were other options here. Like, we don't need to worry about Mike's idol. I've got an idol nullifier. Mm-hmm. Right? I've got like what it could be anything. You could come up with anything you want, but an idle you've seen an idle nullifier before. It serves exactly the same purpose. Okay, if he uses it, don't worry. I've got a nullifier. We'll nullify it. And if he's like, I gotta see the nullifier. Like, what are you talking? Why do you not trust me? What's going on? Right? Because like, why would anybody doubt that? Why would you lie about having a nullifier? And then you steal the idol and you have the idol now. Whatever, right? Like, I feel like there are so many more other options beyond like saying, I have a steal an advantage and here's how it works.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, why not say like, I'll be able to convince him, or why not say like, I have a trick up my sleeve, or anything other than like, and he has to have it. And then I ask out loud, which of course, like, I do understand, like, you've been keeping the secret for 3 weeks and you're finally spilling it. And I do think it's very easy to get caught up in the moment. You're not eating. You're very cold. Omar, his reactions were like fantastic. 10 out of 10. My acting rating for Omar is a 10. So fun. I love him. And just like, when someone's reacting like that, you want to say, and get this, like, it's in front of everyone. And it's like, and this, like, and it's like, Omar's like, tell me more, like eating it up all day. But it was brutal. Cause you know what? That had to have been like an hour, 2 hours beforehand. These episodes, like, I think they said like, oh, there's only 6 days left or something. And I was like, whoa, what? Like, this season is just flying by. And everything's so quick paced. I feel like it's just easy to slip. I haven't seen any of Drea's exit press or anything. If she's talked about why she did this. But I agree. I think there are other options for her, but I am having now played a game like this. I do cut people slack. Great players won't make mistakes like this, but really good players do. So it's rough.
Even great players make mistakes, I think, but, you know, it's, you know, there's also a lot of luck involved. So,
yeah.
So she tells him about the steal an advantage. And for the second time in a row, it's not going to work. She asks for the idol. Mike doesn't have it. Omar has it, which, you know, again, Omar's presented with a lot of options here. He goes through the most of them. He can tell Mike about the steal and an idol, and then get the idol from Mike, and then still vote Mike out, and then have the idol. He can tell Mike about the steal and idol, take the idol from Mike, vote Drea out, choose to keep the idol if he wants, or he can give it back. Or he cannot tell Mike about the steal and advantage, let Drea steal the idol, and then, you know, vote Mike out, and then prop Drea up as like the big target that needs to go. The problem is that now she has an idol. And so there are lots of options here. None of them are like perfect, because very few of them end up with Omar like holding an idol and in a super great spot socially. Because any way where he ends up with the idol, it ends up with him either screwing Mike or Drea over, and they're now pissed, and they're going to be, you know, spilling all kinds of stuff about him to anyone that will listen, which puts him in the position now at the final six of like, okay, I have one idol, but there's at least two more rounds I need to get through after that, where I need to not be voted out as the biggest threat because I just pulled something like this off. And, you know, for somebody that's like not exactly, you know, performing super well in the immunity challenges, that's kind of risky, right? So it's like, where do you go? What do you do? Claire, you're in Omar's spot. What's your choice?
I think he probably made the right choice here. Because I do think I would want Drea gone. It's hard because now going down into it, there are just a lot of idols still in the game. I would want to get as many idols out as I could. I don't hate the idea of, okay, what if, let me throw this to you. Okay, what if, I don't know if you, yeah, I think you probably did. Omar doesn't tell Mike about the idol. Drea steals it. They vote Drea out. What about that?
It's an option, but I assume that when she steals it, she probably then, I assume she plays it. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, could throw everything off, right? I mean, even if she assumes like, okay, I've stolen it and I can trust Omar, it's still just her and Omar and maybe an extra vote. I don't know how well she felt about, like, obviously Romeo ends up voting for Mike this round. But like, I don't know really know why Romeo is voting the way he's voting. I assume that he's just like the dedicated throw an extra vote on the other option person. Some other people are assuming he's just being left out of the votes. I have no idea. But either way, like, I don't know that she has the votes to feel comfortable with not playing the idol at mm-hmm. that point anyway. So, you know, I don't know if it would have been an option, but it certainly could have been an option to not get rid of the idol entirely.
Yeah. Yeah. Then I do like this move for him. I'm assuming he's giving the idol back to Mike next week. What if he pulled a, I'm actually holding on to this, a la like Shan Ricard last season. And that probably wouldn't be good. I would be very wary of making Mike upset at me, I guess, because I have a feeling that he will. We've seen he's an old school player, and with an older school player, I wouldn't want to send them vengeful into a jury situation.
Yeah, I feel like if, because again, the thing is, if he even though he ends up with an idol, if he holds on to it, he's now pissed off Mike, and he's made like the big power move mm-hmm. of the season. And even if he does then survive a final six, maybe he needs to play his idol to do so, because now everyone else is looking at him as like, you're the big threat to win, because you just pulled off this incredible move. You got rid of Drea, stole an idol in the process. He's got a couple of rounds to survive at that point with only one idol. Which is risky. And it's, you know, if I were in Omer's spot, I feel like I might try for that personally, mm-hmm. just because I feel like I'd have a good enough chance of like, all I need to do is like win one of those immunities and the idol play and fire. And I've pretty much won the game at that point. Yeah. And I'd be very tempted. But depending on your, you know, your confidence in your ability to win immunities, your confidence in the people around you, like maybe there is a chance that even if you do steal the idol, that they won't get you out. Maybe there's a way that you can play it where it's like, hey, Jonathan, Lindsay, Marianne, like we know that Mike is the biggest threat to win this game. She just said so. If I give him this idol back, he's going to win. Like I need for the best interests of all of us, I need to keep it, for myself. Right. Like if you can sell that correctly, like maybe you can pull that off. It's really just about like what you think you can pull off. Right.
Right.
I do think that the safest route through this is essentially what Omar has done. And I do think you can give it back because, okay, I feel like the move that Omar made here, it's one of the few moves that allows him to still take credit for the move, mm-hmm. By being the catalyst that prevents Drea from stealing the idol, and holding the idol. Like I'm the one holding it now. I really made this happen. And Drea even says like Omar was the person who knew on her way out. He gets some credit for the move while still hopefully not seeming like the biggest target out there. Like Mike is still the one who will eventually be holding the idol, who is still, you know, made the biggest spectacle at Tribal. And when you give it back to Mike, I think that's when you're like, look, I don't have to give this back to you, but I hope that by giving this back to you, Mike, who cares a lot about loyalty, it shows to you just how much I am in with you. I would hope that if I'm in danger, you would consider using this on me in the coming weeks so that we can both get to the end together. Just try and milk out as much as you can from it while still, you know, look at this Mike guy. He's going to win if he gets to the end, right? I think that's like, that's the play that has the least amount of risk attached to it while still getting as much out of it as you can.
Oh, I agree. I like it. Yeah, it would be tempting for me to want to hold on to it, but I think Omer is a better talker than I am. And so I feel like he will be able to not like play Mike like a fiddle. Like, I want to, you know, let Mike have agency here, but I think he'll be able to extract some goodness out of it. And hopefully he does that and isn't just like, ah, here you go. Like, all's good. That's all it's good. Especially with so many idols floating about. I feel like any goodwill you can get is beneficial.
Yeah. All right. So, let's get into the ratings. Are we ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So let's start with, we'll go player by player, but we'll give both weeks ratings for each player, but we'll start with High, who only has one rating, which is last week's, which was his vote out, his boot episode. I always want to say eviction. What is Survivor needs a good word for it other than like just voted out is two words. It's no good.
Eliminated?
It's generic.
Snuffed?
They're snuffed episode. they're snuff film episode.
The speaking, like the tribe spoken, like they were spoken at. Yeah. I don't know.
Boot is I think the best one, but it's just so generic. You know, it's not specific like Big Brother. All right. So, High, he was booted. He was voted out
snuffed
last week. He was snuffed. I mean, Omer got him good. And he went in not knowing it was coming. You know, I feel like it was kind of the culmination of some mistakes that he had made in the past, particularly that, you know, he was not able to save Lydia back, way back when. I think he pushed in moments when maybe he should have been more like Omer and trying to maybe sit back a little bit because he didn't have the foundation to be able to push in the way that he did without exposing himself. And so, I feel like, for High's boot, I would give him probably like a 3. You know, not like he didn't like completely crash his own game. I think going out as the biggest threat, to win is a pretty, you know, respectable way to go out, in a blindside like that. But I do think we can attribute some fault to him, for how he went out. So, I'd give him around a 3.
Yeah, I also gave him a 3. I agree. I think he lost numbers when he didn't necessarily, maybe he shouldn't have, or he was okay with it going when I think maybe he could have made another push, another play. But yeah, losing Lydia, I even think like losing Chanel, losing some of his, what were they, Bati? The Green Tribe, losing Green Tribe numbers, and then finally having his last ally turn on him is a rough way to go down. But I think he should, you know, hold his head up. If you're going on Survivor and you get voted out, you want it to be a blindside because you are a threat. So I don't really know how much more he could have done. Maybe read it better, but played shot in dark. I don't know. Gave him a 3.
All right. So next, I think we should talk Drea as the other person that was booted or snuffed. Last week I would have been pretty high on Drea. I felt like, cause here's the thing. Drea came let's talk about this, right? If Lindsay does not hit the 1 in 3 chance because she didn't swap, so it was a 1 in 3, then Lindsay is out. Andrea now has both an idol from the amulet and still the steal an advantage. Now, at this point, she has still already told Omer about it, so it's probably not going to be as effective as it could have been. But prior to telling Omer about it, if Lindsay had been do or died, then she would have been guaranteed fire making, because she could steal it from Mike at 6, play it, and then play it the other one at 5, and now she's at fire making, and she's very good chance to win the whole thing. She's just that close. All she needs to do is for Lindsay to not hit the fire at the do or die, and to have not told Omer about the steal it advantage. So I was feeling pretty good. I felt good about the fact that she managed to survive the previous vote. The high ends up leaving instead of Drea. I felt like that was a good sign for her, that maybe they weren't looking at her as a target as much as they probably should have been. I think I would have gone something like a 7 for Drea last week.
Yeah, I gave her a 6, but that's partially because for some reason, I don't believe in giving people the same number. And I already had given a 7 out when I was doing these. But I agree with that. I think Drea is, you know, a 50% chance of making a really deep run of it. We didn't really talk about the amulet. I would like to know what your thoughts are in general on the amulet. I don't actually mind it. I think it was, you know, fine. Maybe it caused people to turn against each other, but kind of interesting.
I think I like it for the most part, especially in comparison to some of the other twists. I think that what's interesting about it is that it is a double-edged sword. It's on one hand an advantage. If the right people leave, then you end up with an idol. On the other hand, it does give a little bit of like an extra bit of incentive to people, to a couple of other people in the game, to take you out. And so you have that sort of dilemma of, not only could I get a more powerful advantage by taking people out who have the amulet, but I'm also taking people out who have incentive to take me out. But also, I've maybe bonded with some of these people over a shared secret, and maybe they're allies for me. And so I like that sort of dilemma. I feel like we didn't get to mine much of it in this season. I feel like a lot of the boots have felt like incidental, like, we're taking high out. Oh, great. That means our thing is better. And in this one, we saw Drea be like, I actually am kind of hoping that Lindsay leaves, but we're not seeing like the struggle or the dilemma of like, should I target them now? Or like, I don't know, or anything like that. So, in practice, it didn't really play out for me this season, but I do like it in concept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is a twist I would like to see carried over. I would love to see some sort of showdown, like maybe if the do or die hadn't happened, of Drea versus Lindsay, who can get the other person out and get that idol before, you know, it doesn't become in use anymore. I would have liked to see that, but what can you do? Doesn't always play out.
What can you do? All right, so heading into this episode, obviously Drea is snuffed, and I think I have to penalize her a bit more than I would penalize High for his snuffing, particularly because I like, just straight up, she had the ability to save herself, and she gave it away to Omer. And I get it. Omer's good. I mean, he's convinced people that they can trust him, clearly. And she really went for it. I don't want to punish her for going for it. But also, I think there's another bit, from the episode that I was confused about. Why she didn't play the shot in the dark.
Mm.
At the point where it's obvious that Omer has betrayed you, to you know, get prevent you from stealing Mike's idol, you have to know they're voting you out at that point. And I get that she played the extra vote, but like, the extra vote's not gonna do it if they're against you. I think at that point I'm playing the shot in the dark.
Yeah, Now, I don't know anything about this, but I did read somewhere, and I think Rob said last night that he doesn't think Cesternino, of course, that he doesn't.
Not a Boston
think,
Rob.
Not Boston Rob. I don't want anyone to be confused. Got to clarify here that he doesn't think Shot in the Dark is in play anymore.
Okay, so Drea said in her interview with Rob that she straight up forgot about the Shot in the Dark.
Oh. Okay, well, there you go. Honestly, didn't we all, you know?
Well, not me.
That's true.
I thought for sure she was gonna use it. And that's why, because I was like, oh, what if she's safe from the Shot in the Dark? And then it goes to Mike anyway. That would be best case scenario for Omer at that point. Maybe not, because then Drea is still in the game and mad at you. But you know, I feel like that I would have gone for that at that point. I mean, you know, Lindsay just hit a 1-3 shot. Maybe you get the 1-6.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, if you, especially because at that point, like, you know, now Omer's betrayed you.
Yeah.
You know, Mike, you just saw that you tried to steal it. Like, they are just coming after you. But yeah, just probably the chaos of the moment and the like, oh my gosh, like, what do I have? Like, she's like digging through her own bag of tricks now, trying to find like, okay, I guess I have the steal a boat. Like, who knows? Like, maybe, you know, I got Romeo probably. I don't know who else I have here, but whatever. I'll just throw all my tricks in the wall here. It was brutal, but I agree. I did give Drea, I gave Drea two similar reasons to you. I just want to get my number out, making the big trip up of telling Omer, and, you know, just kind of sealing her own fate there. I think if you don't tell him, I think you still probably have his trust, even if you steal Mike's idol. And even if you don't, again, you can play him. And so you don't necessarily totally need his trust. And if he's mad at you, he's mad at you. But overall, I think Drea's a really good player. I personally liked her, you know, blowing up people's games on the way out.
Oh, I loved how she left. I thought that was fantastic.
It was just so fun. Like, I was just smiling like the entire time. And it kind of seems like we've kind of seen that in this season of people like, you know, like stuff like high after getting mm-hmm. voted out, like giving the, like tipping his hat. And it's just enjoyable. And I like, you know, giving everyone a call out, giving Jonathan a little bit of an F you, and so on. So it was a good moment. I'm excited for it, but yeah, two for Drea for me.
Yeah, me as well.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.
Let's move on. Let's talk about, all right, who would be next on my list? Next on my list, I would say, is Jonathan for me. For probably both episodes, we'll see. So last episode, we saw just the further sort of de-evolution of Jonathan in the game. His social game seems to have deteriorated to a point where he has lost even Lindsay. People were considering voting him out. And I also feel like his chance to win the game, continues to be very low, because of just again, like the social part of it. It feels to me like Jonathan came into the game. He was like, all right, I'm a big guy. I've got to play it cool. I've got to be super like anti big guy, right? Got to be like super chill bro. And he was like, this is working great. Like now it's time to be more myself. Which is like huge big guy energy. Just like,
classic.
No, stop, stop. Cause it, and I feel like we got that in this episode too, where it was almost like, he was like, I can't let them know. I can't let them see how hard this is for me. But like, it's almost like by hiding it, mm-hmm. he's now like lashing out at times because he can't keep it all in. And it's like, it's worse. And at the same time, it's like, he's like, I'm not complaining. Like, it's like he's doing them a favor, but he's not like, yeah. And it's not working. Whatever it is, it's not working. And you just don't get the sense that, again, I thought it was especially telling that Drea on her way. I was like, dude, I wasn't even targeting you. Like, I don't know. You were targeting me, but like, I wasn't targeting you has to be the worst thing to hear. I would rather somebody be like, I can't believe you betrayed me like that, Omar. You were the only person that knew. Ah, this is going to sting for the rest of my life. I would rather hear that than, you know, a guy like Jonathan. You know, I wasn't even targeting you. Like, you're not even worth targeting.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Like, you didn't even matter. Like, and you were just obsessed with me. And like, that's kind of weird. Like, what do you do? Like, yeah, I gave Jonathan a 2 for both episodes. Mm-hmm. I gave him a 3, but then I was like, for the second episode, but I was like, no, we're sticking with the 2 here. His, you know, Idle Win is not bumming him up for me. I just have a very hard time seeing how he wins at the end.
He's
rubbing
winning.
People the wrong way. If people don't like you, they're not going to vote for you. And I just don't think people really like him or really respect him. And it's like, yeah, I think it's, you know, he does burn 2,000 calories a day just by sitting. So that is substantial.
I mean, genuinely, I like, it is a thing, and we've seen it in the past as well, that like, you know, bigger guys who, especially like big, you know, muscly guys who, you know, they eat a lot. They're used to eating a lot, and then they get out there and it's like, it's very difficult.
Yeah.
It can't be undersold how difficult it is, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's still a social game. Like, you know,
but yep, I agree. Jonathan, the 2 for me for both.
I think I would agree. I think I would also just go straight 2s there. Like, you know, I think I gave him a 1 when he initially dropped. And I feel like he still could easily make it to the end at this point. I just don't think he will win. But, you know, I didn't do anything like so egregious that I'm going to give him give him 1s again. But yeah, I'm going to give him 2s. All right. Next up, I would have Romeo, who just continues to also seem like, which is, again, this is why I'm like, if I'm Omar, if I'm anybody, I want to be in the end with Jonathan and Romeo. It just doesn't seem like either of them are particularly respected in the game. Both of them seem disliked. Now, for on Romeo's end, like, I don't see it as much on the episodes. Like, why?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like in exit interviews, we're hearing like, oh, he was super paranoid. And we saw like a little bit of that. But for the most part, he's just like, he's just chilling. He's like, literally when we saw the montage of like, it wasn't even a montage, it was just one shot. Mike was like, hey, he's the worst. All he does is sit there and eat rice. And it's literally just like this poor guy who's wasting away. Just like,
oh, poor Romeo. Eat that rice, Romeo. Like, Romeo needs it. Like, I know everyone out there is starving, but like, who cares? Like, if people decide they're not going to like you, like, they already didn't like you. If you eat the rice or not, they're just going to find something else to complain about, you know, justification for whatever. Poor Romeo, though. But yeah, I don't really know how he turns this around. I do think you're just a little too deep. You've made weird votes for the past couple of times. I don't see how he gets that win at the end. I gave Romeo a 2 for episode 10, and I gave Romeo a 1 for this episode, I think. I know.
Yeah, I feel like, so my thing about Romeo is that, like, unlike Jonathan, I do feel like Romeo has the ability to turn the jury in Final Tribal. I think it's possible. Mm. Like, because I think that he's somebody that we saw in the first, like, portion of the, in the pre-merge, as somebody that was doing pretty well. And in, even, like, in his confessionals, he seems fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Why? Like, he must be doing some, I don't want to say that. It's not that he must be doing something, but, like, for whatever reason, it's not translating on the island right now. But, mm-hmm. But I do feel like he's the kind of player that can explain his strategic decisions and sort of craft a narrative for himself. Like, who could he beat? Like, I think he could beat Jonathan. And then, then it's tricky, right?
That's where I see it. And Jonathan gets a 2. I think Jonathan could have gotten a 1 for me. But I'm like, okay, I can see maybe some world where he, I don't know, comps his way out. I don't really see a world where he wins. It's very hard to, I agree. Yeah. I do think Romeo has a good narrative when he's talking to the cameras, when he's talking to Marianne, like, these people are turning on each other. They are going after each other and they're not seeing us, the bottom, if you will. And I do think that's a good argument. Like, I can see, you know, I just don't really see it. I just don't see it, though.
I think his best chance is, like, Jonathan and Lindsay or something like that, where he's like, you know, obviously I should beat Jonathan. And maybe he's the one that, like, orchestrated the removal of both Mike and Omer, to be like, look, I took out the big shots. I took, you know, Jonathan and Lindsay, who was just trying to get Jonathan out. Like, what was Lindsay really doing? Like, I came from behind, underdog story. I took out the big dogs, maybe. But I think Marianne easily outtalks him in the end. I don't think he can be in the end with her. Omer and Mike both probably. So I think it would have to be Jonathan and Lindsay. And I think it's pretty tough road.
That's so interesting. I think I'm higher on Lindsay than you are.
I don't think Lindsay's an auto win. But I do think that she has a great chance. She certainly would be a favorite over Romeo, I think. Yeah. I think that would be a great final three for her. I think I'd go threes for Romeo, mm-hmm. both episodes. No real change in either one for him from my end. Okay. So next up, we've got four people left. Mm-hmm. We've got Lindsay, Marianne, Mike, and Omer. So Mike, in the previous episode, last mm-hmm. week, he gets tricked into taking out High. I felt like that was not a great episode for him, on the back of an episode that was already not great, mm-hmm. where he was sort of, like, coerced into taking out Rocks. And it wasn't really in his interest. Then he's tricked into taking out High in retaliation, in a move that I think could really undercut his ability to win in the end. Because if he's sitting there with Omer, Survivor is not Big Brother. They have hours to talk at Final Tribal. And if Omer is able to explain, like, if Mike says, gets up there and he says, what was my best move? Well,
wait, can you hear it? Can you hear that? You know what that is? That's High's head rolling down the road
because he said that I was a puppet and that he could control my every move. But guess what? I took High out, and High's just like, I didn't say that. What are you talking about? And then Omer's like, oh yeah, that was me. Actually, I got him to, like, I feel like that's such a big, like, it's such a huge selling point for Omer over Mike. And and even if Omer's not there in the final three and Omer's in the jury, and he's telling everyone like, hey, you know, I tricked Mike into taking High out. Like I was the person. I feel like that it really hurts Mike's chances. Just believing in a lie is not a good look on a show, on a game, in a game like Big Brother or Survivor. And so, I thought that was a very bad episode for him as well. And I would give Mike. So the thing though is that like he still was in a decent position. He still has the idol. Still has a decent chance to make it to the end. I think I would go with like a 5 for Mike last episode. I think that it wasn't as bad as the previous one, but I think that overall it was still not great. And then in this episode, he is taking ownership of the move in a big way, which again could very easily backfire, but maybe not. But I still don't love it. I still feel like it's putting a target on his back for something that he might not even get credit for in the end. He does survive it, though. Omer chooses him over Drea, which is good. He's in the final six with probably an idol. So that's good. And, you know, Drea does say, and this is big, she says, Mike, if you make it to the end, you're going to win. Now, That's not a binding contract, but it does give Drea incentive to then vote for Mike if he makes it to the end, because she said it. Like, even if she wasn't inclined to otherwise, because she finds out things about Mike, just the fact that she says it and then he gets to the end anyway, it's like, well, I don't want to be wrong. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I prophesized, and I have the ability to choose whether it was true or not. I want to seem like I was smart and I predicted the future. I don't want to seem like I was a dummy and I got it wrong. Right. So I do think that could help, help overcome some of the like, oh yeah, sure, Omer tricked him, but then Omer let him get to the end. What was he thinking after she said that?
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts on this. Because we have seen, like, it's, who was it? People have done this before, right? Victoria and Gavin, right? In Edge of Extinction, where Victoria said, Gavin, you're going to win this. But then in Ponderosa, she was like, that wasn't true. I just wanted him to lose. Like, I want them to vote him out. And I am a little aware of this, right? I, in my season of Big Brother, was sitting in the chairs next to the eventual winner, in my eviction, my snuffing, if you will. And I was like, this guy is going to win. And he did. But granted, my situation is very different. I also said that knowing there were certain people that I would vote instead of that person to win, you know, and it was me trying to paint a target and try to prove to everyone else, how dare you? You guys were silly for doing this. This is the person that's going to win, which, you know, Drea has just seen Omer choose Mike over her. This might have been her also, you know, driving a little bit of a knife in Omer's back, saying, silly you. Mike is going to win this thing. You were so foolish to get rid of me. Which is a little bit of what I was trying to do. So I can empathize with that. But you are in that position where, hey, you can be right. And people like to be right in these games, of course. But yeah, my feelings on Mike are very varied. I also worry for Mike that he's going to get to the end and he's going to preach that he played a loyal game, that he cared about loyalty. I worry a little bit that it's like Ken in Millennials versus Gen X, I think. Was that Millennials versus Gen X, where he was working with David Wright and that before he caught David. And then he went in and he preached, I played a loyal game. That was my motive. And everyone poo-pooed him and said, you didn't, though. And I think Mike has really been telling himself, I'm a very loyal player. Like, what I did with Roxroy, like, isn't really me. the high really betrayed me. And so that's why I had to get back at him. And I worry if he gets to the end and says, you know, I really wanted to be a loyal player. That's what I came in here wanting to do. And he really preached that. But then, you know, he turned against Chanel, he turned against all these people. You know, I feel like he could set himself up in a poor position at that final tribal council. On top of if he said, and it was actually my move to evict high, there's someone who's there to say, like, actually, that was my move. Especially, like, if people get evicted or voted out and they go to jury, sometimes people take credit for moves that maybe, you know, maybe this is a 50-50. Mike wanted to do it. And maybe Omer pushed him. But if you end up in some scenario where it's Mike versus Omer, people want to give more credit to a lie than maybe what was originally there. That said, I gave Mike, I actually gave him a 4 for episode 10. And then I actually bumped him up to a 6. My ratings for these top four, I have little sticky notes and they are, I was crossing off. I was trying to reorganize because I'm trying to think of like, how is their move in this episode? But then also in, you know, at the end, what I see for them, because we are just so close to it. But I do think Mike has made moves. I think if Dre was being genuine, people are seeing him as like making moves. I think High could be in a position where he would want to like credit Mike for getting him out potentially. He has an idol still potentially. We'll see. But that's how I feel about Mike. I think I can see Mike winning this. I think people maybe will want to try to take him out in the next couple of episodes, maybe because of what Drea said, or maybe they just want to stick Taku, you know, Taku strong or something to the end. I could see that as well.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I feel like he keeps making mistakes in my eyes, both strategically and jury management wise. But with every passing round, he gets closer and closer to the final three. There's only three people left to get rid of. And one of them, one of those rounds can't be him. He's got an idol, as long as he plays it right. And one of those rounds is fire making. I don't know how good he is at fire, but...
He's a firefighter.
Well, that's... Might be a bad thing. Yeah. He's good at putting them out.
He's seen fire before. Like, if you try to make me do a fire... like. Grand, like if I was on the show, it'd be different, but like, I would be afraid of the fire. Like, I'm not discounting that. Like my fear level.
All right. Yeah.
He will not be intimidated to start that flame, Taryn.
So yeah, I mean, I feel like there's basically just one round he needs to survive. That could be an immunity win. He's not like terrible at these challenges. Or it could just be that like, hey, maybe he does turn the tables on Omer. Maybe that's the round where Lindsay's like, now it's gotta be Jonathan because Jonathan lost or, whatever. Right. So he's that close. I do think he might have more trouble than it seems in a jury vote as things stand, but, he is a very likable guy. He's made a lot of good relationships, on the jury. Just the way that, you know, the way that he was like, were those two votes for me? Oh my God. Like, you know, he's clearly like, if he's in the end, he's in there with a chance. I'm much lower on those chances this week than I was a couple of weeks ago, but he's still getting close and he's still in there with a chance. So I did go the 6 as well here for this episode. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now we're down to our last three here. And I think that, so I think I want to talk about Lindsay next.
Okay.
Last episode was good for Lindsay in that we saw more of her. She won a couple of challenges. I think that was good for her in the game because it helped set her up as, you know, an alternative to Jonathan as the challenge beast. And she also separated herself from Jonathan in the game. Now she's been pitching for Jonathan to go quite a lot. And it still doesn't happen. I think that's not the best look in the world, but I do think that she has been able to separate herself enough from him that she can still win, certainly beat him. the thing is that, like, I feel like she should want to go to the end with John. I feel like it almost gives you like the, like Sandra trying to take out, Russell for like half of Heroes versus Villains vibes. It's like, just stop. Like, it's a good thing that you're failing right now, because I feel like this is a great setup for you. And so, so that's not great, but then it's like, okay, I'm looking at who can she be. I think she can be Jonathan. I think she can be Romeo. I think those are easy. Marianne, I think could go either way. Mike could go either way. And really Omer could go either way, because we don't really know what the jury is thinking of Omer right now, playing that kind of game where he's very under the radar. I don't know how much the jury knows about his game at this point. But I think she basically has a chance to beat anyone right now, with two people that she could definitely beat and a pretty decent chance of making it to the end, especially now that she has an idol. But that's this episode. Last episode, I wasn't feeling as good. I was feeling more of a closer to like a six last week. She won those immunities, but the fact that she was gunning for Jonathan, I was like, eh, like, what? Why are we doing this? And then ultimately she didn't even get what she wanted. So strategic agency wasn't really there. But it was still kind of, it was feeling like, okay, this is still, she's still in a decent place.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, so what'd you give her this episode?
So this episode, I feel, so here's the thing. I think she made a huge mistake by playing in the immunity, the do or die situation. And that's going to like sort of limit where she goes. But, the fact that she survived and Drea left, which now means she has an idol. I don't remember exact. I don't think anybody knows that she has this idol now, right?
People knew that they had steal a vote.
Maybe the chat will know. Because I don't remember if people know that she now has this idol. But basically, she now has an idol at six.
Yeah.
She has a great chance to win. She is up there in terms of chances to win immunities. Mm-hmm. So she, just like Mike, only has one round to survive, and has a great chance of winning one of those immunities. They're saying that Omer does know. Okay, so Omer knows that she. Of course, Omer knows. Why would he not?
Of course.
So I think that's great. I think that my only issue with her positioning is that it still seems like she is trying to get out Jonathan, and I really don't think that she should. And I feel like if she takes Jonathan out, I feel like that's a losing move for her at this point. I think for Lindsay, she should want, ideally, I think you want to take out, obviously, ideally you take out Marianne, Mike, and Omer. I think your priority has to be, Marianne and Mike both have idols. How do you take them out? So, man, I think you have to go for Omer next, but she's not going to do that, right? Maybe she will. I think that's the winning move. I think you take out Omer. You don't have to play your idol to take out Omer. That's ideal situation. Then you play your idol at five and then maybe win immunity at four or win fire at four. And then you're sitting in the end with hopefully something like Romeo, Jonathan, or something along those lines. I feel like that's the winning move, but I just don't see it happen.
Yeah. Lindsay is tricky for me. I do think Lindsay's clearly willing to cut people that she'd been working with Jonathan. I have a feeling maybe Lindsay at the merge said, I've been too close with Jonathan. And I need to get rid of him because people are seeing us as a duo, and I have to cut my duo to be seen as like playing my own game and making my own moves. And then the game has shifted and her mindset hasn't shifted. She's not seeing like, where are the pieces now? She's seeing I don't want to get in the case where someone thinks me and Jonathan have been playing the same game or whatever. I think for Lindsay, I think to me, if I had to like rank, I think Omer probably beats everyone. And then I get a little tricky with like a Lindsay versus Mike, Lindsay versus Mary Ann. But I think that Lindsay has a solid chance against them. I think the playing the do or die is flashy. That is happening in front of the jury. You did it correctly. And I think her and Omar have really been playing a lot of these moves together. Like, I don't want to discount. I don't know if Omar thought about it or not, but Lindsay was the one who brought up, what if let's get Mike to give us the idol, or let's get Mike to, you know, get rid of the idol, and then we can like blindside Drea, which, you know, who knows if Omar already thought that or not, but the edit at least kind of seemed to give a little bit of credit there to Lindsay, or Lindsay at least was in on these plans with Omar, is clearly strategizing with him. And I think that if Lindsay is sitting against someone else, Omar would want to like vote for Lindsay potentially. And I think Omar will probably, if he goes out before jury, would have a lot of sway on the jury. Because he might see like, this is my game as well, and I want to reward that. I do worry about the hyper-focus with Jonathan. Part of me wonders how much of it is just for putting target on someone else. She has made a few like blunders, errors, I guess, playing in the do or die, being so hyper focused on Jonathan. But I think she has a really good head on her shoulders. Like I think that she could play, going down very well. I could potentially see her being taken out like something like next week, though, if she doesn't win, just because people might say like, oh, well, she's like locked in to win. She's a challenge threat. Jonathan, we know, kind of like sucks. So like, let's keep him around. But Lindsay, like she could really like, you know, be very good at comps. I gave Lindsay. Now I'm really second guessing my choices. I gave Lindsay a 7 for episode 10. And then I was really between an 8 and a 9 on Lindsay. I'm really high on Lindsay. I think that Omar could very easily get taken out as like the strategy figurehead. And Lindsay's right there to scoop it up. And I think potentially make a run of it. I'll give her an 8. I'll give her an 8. Because I do think there are some potential traps for her going down to the end.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would go a 7 for this episode. I considered the 6 actually, because I like her position, but I'm not confident in what she wants to do moving forward. And I also feel like I have to give her some demerits for the choice to play in the immunity, and also for not switching, even though it worked out. There's that. But I do feel like she could definitely potentially get there for the win. I think she's in contention for sure. And I think that I feel like she has a stronger case than Mike in the finals.
Right. I agree.
It's tough to say that, but I feel like she has a better story right now. I'm more confident in what she would say in the finals than it, 'cause I think you make a very good point about Mike being like, I'm about loyalty. It's like, oh, that's not going to work for Mike, 'cause his game is not about loyalty.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see. All right. Then we have Marianne, who's a very interesting one, because I feel like I'm not seeing her do a lot of things actively to be like, oh, she's doing these really great things. But I'm very high on her positioning right now because nobody's looking at her. She has an idol that nobody knows about and an extra vote still. I'm reasonably certain she still has the extra vote. That's huge. I don't remember when the extra vote expires exactly, but like all she needs is like Romeo or something, right? And she can at 5 like flip a vote. That's very good. It's very good, and the likability factor is way off the charts. And unlike Mike, there's no spot where like she's been bamboozled into doing something. She very much has a great underdog story. I think she can sell it really well to a jury. I think she's so passionate about being there and just so likable that I think that she could easily take like an upset win over almost anybody here. I think even Omer, like if they don't see what Omer has done or if they're kind of mad at Omer, I could easily see the votes going to Marianne instead. And again, it's like, who's looking to target Marianne next? Seemingly nobody. Yeah. You still have Mike as a huge target. Omer might emerge as a target. Jonathan is still there. Lindsay is still there. Which means, I mean, just lock Marianne in for the final four, it seems, yeah. Right? Then maybe she has to make fire, or maybe she's taken to three, or maybe she wins that final challenge. Because there might be like bigger threats on the, maybe it's like, you know, Jonathan and Mike and Omer are all there, or like Lindsay's that it's like, we gotta put the big guns against each other or whatever it is. Right. Mm-hmm. And then if she sneaks her way into that final three, I really like her chances. Yeah. But again, I like there's, we're not seeing a lot of her like doing active moves. She might start next time on, it was like, oh, right. There we go. Which actually is even more promising, because if she really starts making moves at this point, then, like she's already in a good, I mean, that's the Erica, right? So I like where she is. I like where she could go. So last episode, I would give her, last episode is when she found the idol, right?
Yes.
So fantastic. Finding an idol, not telling anyone about it. Mm-hmm. I'd give her an 8. Mm-hmm. And then this episode, surviving through it. I feel like I don't even remember if we saw anything from Marianne in this episode.
I think we were summarizing. We didn't say Marianne once. Like we just straight up didn't say her name at all.
Which is, I mean, yeah, like, good. Like she doesn't need, it doesn't matter really to her who she's not in a position where she's like running the game and like needs to count like who I'm getting there to the end with. Cause mm-hmm. again, I think that like, that's not really her way of winning. Cause again, I think she's going to have a chance against most people. So mm-hmm. she just has to make it there. And let these, you know, big threats take each other out. So, surviving this round, holding on to the idol, I feel like, I'm going to stick with the, I think I would, I'll drop for this episode, I'll drop to a 7 just mm-hmm. because there wasn't anything to like spike. Like the rating that she was doing. But I do feel like she's a top contender right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think what I really, like if you had told me the first episode that I feel like that I would think Marianne's like a serious contender, like I've liked Marianne from the very beginning. Like I've been very high on Marianne playing. She reminds me of like some of my best friends. I don't know if I would have guessed that she would be at the very, very end. Or like, you know, making a swing of it. And I think it's probably just her likability. And I think she is very authentically herself. And I think that that is probably very refreshing when you're out there of someone who is like, look, this is just who I am. I'm going to be goofy. I'm going to make people like me. I'm going to be rootable. And then she's also does have these advantages still in her pocket of the idol. This extra vote I just learned about. Good on her for keeping this information private. I worry a little bit about how respected she might be by the jury. If you are playing this very like authentic yourself, bubbly, loud, some people might just be like, she's young. But I think what reassures me about Marianne is she is hyper self-aware. Mm-hmm. And she is not like fooling herself in this game of like, oh, this is what I'm doing. This is where I'm at. Actually, like this. She knows. Actually, she knows and she takes credit for the small things that she's doing, for being able to sit back, being able to, you know, tell a lie here or there and get people to do a certain thing. And I feel very confident in her ability to like articulate it.
She knows it. How to translate what she is doing into impressive sounding strategic decisions, which is, I think, exactly what the jury will be looking for. If they're like, we really like Marianne, but I don't know if we can justify voting for her. If she says the kind of thing that she's saying in the confessionals where it's like, hey, you know, when I sat out of the challenge for everyone, that was a strategic decision because of whatever. Like, I think that gives them just the justification that they need to be like, okay, perfect. We love you, Marianne. Great explanation.
Yeah. Like, if she could give them like something, I think people would probably love to vote for her. Because she's just fun. Like, and she's very smart. And like, she does know what she's doing. She loves this game. And this is a season of people who love this game. So that is something that you would want to reward. I think like, depending on who she's with, like, I don't know if she's like a unanimous winner. Like, I feel like there's a good amount, like Lindsay, Omar, Mike, who will like get votes as well if Marianne's in the end. But I could see Marianne going out at fire is like my
this is the biggest danger point for her game, I think.
Like, I think that maybe people would see that like threat maybe at the end of like her passion. And when you think about like, okay, talking against some of these people, like, I don't know how much some of these people like would be able to like explain their game. Thinking about Mike, maybe you would say, okay, you go to fire against that person. But I think that seeing the preview as well has made me higher on her of like kicking in a gear. Like, my poor little heart broke seeing her like get really worked up about the idea of like being a goat, which like, that's future. We won't talk about it, but like, that's
I had to like, if I was like, she's definitely going to make a move next week, I'd definitely give her a higher rating, but yeah. I'm trying to.
Yeah. I agree. But I think like, she is such a fan. Like, she doesn't want to be a go. Like, if you're a fan, like, you will literally do whatever you can to not do that, perhaps at the detriment of your own game.
Yeah. And then that's part of the reason why, like, it's like, it could be bad, but, cause she's already pretty set, but if she's able to lock it in, that would be great. But she could also maybe do something that ruins the current trajectory. So.
Like, it could blow up her own spot. That said, last episode, episode 10, I gave Marianne a 7. This episode, like, I think I have 4 numbers written on here, but I'm going to keep her at a 7. But I'm excited for Endgame.
All right. I feel like if the game were running right now, I feel like Marianne would be a great investment because I feel like she could spike next episode. And I feel like it's not super likely that she tanks. Then somebody who might not be a great investment, but is definitely very high right now. Omer, the last person on the list. Last episode, I said, all right, I'm going to give it to him. I'm going to give him the 10. Superb work, tricking Mike into believing that he told a good lie, and really it cemented to me just how much I love watching Omer. He's so much fun. The way that he's playing is fantastic. The way that he's able to make moves and then a move that he made, he then blamed on somebody else and used that as a catalyst to move in a different direction to do the move against them, and still is making it seem like, oh, that was Mike's move. It's so good. And he's able to, he's got that, like, that energy in his confessionals. That's like mischievous kind of like, I love it. I love watching Omer. He's got to be one of my favorite Survivor contestants in a while. And I thought that the previous episode was like the high point of his game, making that move, taking out High, seemingly taking control of the entire game at that point. And yes, High was like a decent tool for him. And I did consider the option of like, maybe he should have taken Drea out then and kept High in. But again, like, High is potentially more dangerous, more connected. And I feel like given how things went here, I think it probably was the right call to take that shot at High. And it really like, and I don't want to make too many Big Brother Canada allusions, but I do feel like the issue here for Omer is, can he survive this next, these next couple of rounds of immunity idols, of which he doesn't really have. I mean, he's holding one right now, but it's a tricky situation, and immunity challenges and fire making. Like, this is the really tough part for a person who is, you know, pure strategy. It's tough in Big Brother. It's become a bit tougher in Survivor. So we'll see what happens with all of that. But I gave him the 10 last week. This week, because of the sort of uncertain trajectory here and the fact that, like, because I think he makes a great move. I mean, I want to give him another 10 because of the fact that Drea should never have told him that information. The fact that he found out the information, he makes a play. It's all fantastic, but his future doesn't seem as bright as it did last week right now for me, because I'm looking at Lindsay with an idol, Marianne with an idol, and Mike with probably getting that idol back. That only leaves three possible people out at 6, him, Romeo, and Jonathan. And if you're, again, if you're anybody looking at those options, you're like, Jonathan's not going to win a jury vote. Romeo's not going to win a jury vote. Why wouldn't I take the shot at Omer at that point? It's just, it's a tricky spot to be. So we will see what happens with Omer. I'm going to give him the 9 for this week. But man, I'm so like, every time I see him on the screen, I'm just like, yeah,
Omer.
Yeah, anytime you get an Omer confessional, you're like, oh, this is going to be good. Like, I can't wait to see what kind of shenanigans he's been up to since the last time we saw him on our screen. I've loved watching Omer play. Like I said, like earlier when Drea was telling him and he was like, oh, so excited. Like, you can tell he's enthusiastic too to be here and to be playing this game. And he's played it so masterfully. I gave him a 9 last time. You know, I got to reserve my 10s, I guess, is for what? But I do. I'm protecting them. Ones I'm throwing out, but 10s, you know, that's key.
Special.
He's very special.
You observe.
And I observe.
I do. I observe. You know, Omer makes a great move. I observe. Everyone else gets idols. I observe nervously. I've really just enjoyed watching Omer play. I feel like he would be able to explain his game if he gets to the end pretty well. People like him. We've seen that repeated amounts of time. And people just trust him. Like, it's shocking to me. I would be very intrigued to know his in-game plans here. But we've just seen, like, week after week, people coming to him, people confiding in him. It seems like, you know, we don't see a lot of, like we didn't see Marianne, but we saw Omer, I think, talk to Marianne this episode. Like, Omer is making rounds. I feel like probably everyone kind of thinks they're good with Omer. Omer is very good at selling the perspective and the narrative that he wants of, like, yeah, I'm an underdog, or yeah, I'm with you, and playing in the shadows. I worry a little bit of Drea blowing up his spot, saying, you know, Omer, you were the only person I knew. I think that is probably lighting some signals up in some people's heads. I don't know how well people knew if, like, Drea and Omer were working together or if not, but that would concern me if I was out there. I was listening to the recap podcast and they said something that put a chill down my spine of, we might have an advantage get in at 5. Three people having idols. Omer, I don't feel that good about his odds of winning a challenge. Like, not zero, of course, but if you're up against, like, who knows who in that situation, like, you could be in a situation where Omer is like,
Jonathan out. And Lindsay are still there. Yeah. Like, yeah.
And you could just end up out by no coincidence, you know, like, nothing to do about it. You're just out, which is, like, my worst case scenario in this season. But, like, I think Suri got, you know, advantage get it. Like, I'm throwing that out there, and I'm very sorry, and I'm tapping on what I promise. But I do think him going to the end without idols, potentially being seen as the biggest strategic threat, I guess, like, with Drea gone, now who are people eyeing as, like, this is the person, like, who's Marianne, who's Romeo, I don't really trust Jonathan's strategic game. But who are they eyeing as like, now, if we get this person out, that's my resume move. Like, that's what you got to do at six, at five. And I just think he could be taken out. I have some faith in him to be able to navigate it. But I'm nervous for him. I'm very nervous for him. Like, if we get an Omar win this season, like, oh my gosh, like this season, I think I'm really high on this season in general, if you will. That would be fantastic. And I could see it because he is very good at being under the radar. Like, I don't really think people have really seen his strategic moves that he's been making. I'm just nervous for him without having an idol. I gave Omer an 8 this episode, if I didn't say that. But I still like how he's everyone's confidant. Don't love his spot being blown up. I'll be interested to see if that rattles through. But I think that he could be one of these people that we see the strategic mastermind being taken out at. It used to be 4, but now potentially 5, especially without an idol.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like since the merge, when he gave the confessional of like, I'm playing everyone. I've got a relationship with every single person. I want options. I loved that confessional, and I was waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I feel like at this point, I'm willing to say like, he did it. Like, he didn't get caught. Yeah. Like, since the merge, like, we are now down to the final 6. Like, he has played most of the merge at this point, playing everyone behind the scenes, controlling the shots being taken. Nobody's caught on yet. Even if he leaves next, I feel like super impressive run at that point. And it's not that the other shoe dropped. It's that, like, he probably just gets unlucky. But we'll see. Maybe he really drops the ball. Maybe he makes a crucial error. Maybe they catch on. Who knows? But I think at this point, he's sort of cemented this run. Like, he is the player of the season, of certainly the merge, really just did such a great job all the way through. So great stuff from Omer with his chicken army, undead chicken army. All right, there it is. We did it. 2 episodes.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good this time. Good along, but a lot to get through. A lot of good Survivor. I just love Survivor. Like, really, how can you beat it? Really fun episodes. Really interesting moves. Like, very strategic moves. Like, it's just been a blast. And I think I would be pretty happy with a lot of these winners. Like, a lot of these players winning. I think it will be a very interesting end game. I think, like, whatever that final episode is, going like the 5th vote, fire making. And I think that I kind of feel like whoever's in there. Okay. I could see a world where it's not an interesting final tribal council. Like, I could see a world where we get a unanimous winner, but I think, like, with this jury, it's going to be interesting. A fun rundown. How fun. No heads rolled in this one, but very, very good times.
This is what I was when I asked you to be on this podcast and you said yes, I went.
And I think she bought it. I hope she bought it.
Yes, she bought it.
I bought it. You know, I know, Taryn, I wasn't at the live show last week. I'm sure you were like, I got to get my strategy talk with Claire. so I'm glad that we could do it. I'm happy literally anytime to come on and talk Survivor, talk whatever, you know. I love these shows. I love the strategy. I love ranking things. So it's a good time.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you this week. Of course, I'll be back next week. We will talk through the penultimate episode of Survivor season 42. We'll see what happens. And of course, Big Brother Canada coverage continuing to come. I have already spoken with the first member of the jury in the postseason. So I spoke with Big Brother Canada. It's long Big Brother Canada spoilers at this point. I spoke with Herman. That interview should be coming out soon. So make sure you check that out. And I've got some more coming down the pipeline for you in the Big Brother Canada 10 postseason. And then we've also got the Circle running here. Circle just started up. We've recorded about the first four episodes already, and we'll hopefully be recording about the next four tomorrow on Friday. So you can look out for those podcasts as well. You can, of course, always find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taren, or on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong, hanging out, watching these episodes live with all of you. Claire, what are you up to?
Wow, what am I up to? Not much. I feel like that's my answer every time. It's always a letdown. I wish I had something, you know, fun. I'm on the social medias. Again, not really posting. At Claire Rafis, my first name, last name. You can look up how to spell it. How fun. Isn't that so great? Like, I did go on a TV show. My last name is brutal to pronounce, brutal to spell. And now people can just look it up. Like, it's great. It's great.
I think the strategy at this, like, you've now changed the strategy of people looking up. And now the strategy is Claire Big Brother.
Yeah.
And that's then you true. Pop up your full name.
That's there. I guess that's it. Yeah. You don't really know people's last names like, ever, I guess, on these shows, but like you type it in and it's there. And I'm just hanging about. I'm down in Virginia Beach right now, moving the process. It's long, it's lengthy. But I'm chugging through life, I guess. You know, you do what you can. What else am I doing? That's really it. Reading books.
Yes.
Stay on top of it. We gotta catch up, Taren. We gotta catch up.
Better, worse?
Better.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So everything's going well with me, but that's really it.
Yes, you can, of course, listen to the Taren Show interview I did with Claire. I don't even know how long ago it was. It's time is a jumble in my head. Maybe a month or two. I don't know. But it was a very fun one. So check out the Taren Show that I did with Claire. All right, that's what we've got for you. Thank you so much for joining us here today, and I will see all of you next time.
Later.